Governor Greg Abbott has signed off on new maps, and if you thought the Atlas was hard to read, wait till you get a load of the State Board of Education districts and the congressional districts and the Texas House and Senate districts. We're recording this on the 26th of October with political science professor Brandon Rottinghouse from the University of Houston, and I guess I'll start you off with just a basic overview, your take on what the state legislature did based on the 2020 census numbers that they had in hand.
It's like Jenga meets Operation. Board game mashup. The legislature, as you say, has to redraw these lines every 10 years. Sometimes they do it, you know, less frequently than every 10 years, depending on how the courts handle things. But it's definitely the case. The Republicans have tried to shore up support that they knew they could get. They've taken a kind of, I guess I would say, no pun intended, conservative approach to this. They want to make sure that they're going to be able to win the districts and allocate their resources as applicable to the districts they know that they can win. They didn't stretch a lot here to try to figure out ways they could game the system and try to get future votes. They really focused on places they knew they could get votes in the near term. So like it was in the 2011 redistricting, Texas changes rapidly. And you noted the census, of course, is the base bone of this. So This is definitely going to be something that they'll have to revisit. And politically speaking, the state's changing so much, it's really hard to know what's going to happen. But I can estimate that at least for the near term, you're seeing some very significantly strong Republican districts, and they've made them even stronger.
It is interesting how some of the redrawing was done. There were a couple of them that made the headlines even during the process. Texas Senate District 10 comes to mind, which was basically a southern Tarrant County district, and it now stretches out, I think, to New Mexico, or close to it, maybe Arizona, who knows. And the other one was the Donut District in central Texas. I discovered, and I'll admit, I was in the 32nd Congressional District, and I just looked at the new maps. I'm in the 5th District now. So there was a lot of restructuring done, and it was done, at least when you read the pundits, and I'd like your take on it, it was done to offset the increase demographically, especially of the Hispanic population of Texas. And I understand that the Latino, you know, they don't all vote Democratic. There's a strong Republican presence in the, along the border even, for example. But the fact is that these districts were drawn kind of against the demographic changes of our state.
Yeah, that's what some people are saying. And certainly we've seen lawsuits that will testify to that effect. So the courts are going to have to sort this out, as they almost always do. But I think you're right. The goal for Republicans was to try to shore up support and then try to, in some cases, you know, carve off certain communities and put them into areas where they would be less impactful. So this is what we call effectively cracking, where you crack a community apart and put them into two different districts to dilute their voting strength. That is illegal if it's shown to be true. So there are definitely limits here as to what the Republicans can do. So we may see these lines adjust even further. I'll say too that it's the case that Republicans think that they can win some of these districts. In fact, looking at the span of districts, about the only districts that are really competitive are the Hispanic majority districts. So these are places where Republicans feel like they can make inroads. That's going to be a bit of a challenge because obviously there are, you know, a lot of different variation within the Latino community. So that's going to be something that they have to fight out politically. But the last thing I'll say is that all these district lines moving does mean something, not just because of the way that the politics will play out over the next couple of years and the next few cycles, but because when you change people's districts, the scholarship on this shows that people are less likely to vote. So for instance, people like you and like myself, who are now in a different district, you don't know who your representatives are. You're not as connected to them as you were. And these kinds of things do show statistically to reduce turnout. So because Texas is already extremely low on the list of states that have, you know, have turnout, this is definitely a problem.
Just for the record, you know, depending on any lawsuits that may happen that change things, what elections do they first impact?
Yeah. The first election that it will impact will be the primaries, and those are going to be in March. And so
Okay.
that'll be the first time you've got the chance for these district lines to hold. It could be that if the courts see there's something egregious, they could decide to use the old maps instead. The courts could also decide that even if they're not sure about these maps, they could require these maps to be used. We've seen both of those models happen in the past 20 years. So there's still a lot of ambiguity about what's going to happen. I think the best thing that voters can do is to pay close attention to what district they're in and make sure that they're voting in the right place. That is to say, that the district that you belong to, in terms of the correctness that the courts or the legislature say is where you're going to vote, is what you should pay attention to.
The Texas Tribune on their website, texastribune.org, and you can go to their website and see the story about the redistricting. And they have a line in there where you can put in your address, and it will show you what you had and what you have coming
Yes.
up. And that's where I discovered that I am moving from the 32nd Congressional District to the 5th Congressional District, which I
Right.
used to be in a long time ago. You mentioned the Hispanic vote in Texas, and it's not a monolith, and people sometimes forget that. The Texas Monthly, the new one, has a cover story that says why Democrats are losing Tejanos. There is a change in Texas, and I think sometimes maybe the Democrats are not paying attention, and the
I think that's
Republicans
right.
are.
I think you're exactly right. And I do think that there's concern in the Democratic Party that they're not getting to attach these voters to the Democratic Party platform as well as they would like. They're, to some degree, I think, taking them for granted. Now, we see a significant split between urban Latinos and those who are in more rural areas, like
Oh,
the
okay.
places you're describing in the border. So, in the polling that we've done with Univision and other organizations, we see a distinctive split. We also see a distinctive age split. So, younger Latinos are much more likely to support the Democratic Party than older Latinos. But to be honest, that's about as far as you can take that logic. It's hard to be able to pinpoint because people are all different. And like you say, they're not a monolith. So we do know that historically, Republicans have been very good at getting the Latino vote. Since George W. Bush was governor, you saw him getting 33% and
Right.
sometimes more of that vote. And not every Republican gets that number, but they're all shooting for it and they're laying the groundwork to get it. So that is definitely something they think they can get. And so, like I said, the only really competitive state House and state Senate districts, and to some degree, congressional districts, are those that are connected to the Latino community in a big way.
I know there's so much to play out here between now, the primaries, and the general election next year, the midterms, which are seen as crucial for the Democrats if they lose the House, for example. What do you see as the change in Texas on the congressional level based on the maps as they stand now?
I don't think you're going to see much change. I think the Republicans who are currently in office are likely to stay there. Some of the districts are slightly different, but the ways that they're different actually make them stronger. So I think you're going to see 24, maybe 25 members of the delegation for Republicans return. They also have created two new districts because of the
Yeah,
growth
that's
in
right.
Texas. One
Right.
is a Democratic district in Austin, and the other is a very Republican district in Houston. So I think you're going to see that split. Basically, the Republicans who drew the lines decided that they're just going to give Austin away. They're not even going to try to compete. And so they made it clear that they were going to try to construct those districts and all the little pieces that connected to it, all the little fickle fingers that came down into Austin that stretched sometimes all the way to Houston, are now to some degree a thing of the past. So now they're much more conservative, much more Republican. And certainly the new district in Houston is much more Republican. So at the end of the day, I think you're probably going to see again 24, 25, maybe 26 of the Texas's 36 districts, now 38 districts, go to the Republicans.
Wow. How would Mr. Jerry react to what has happened? As going back to something that you said a few minutes ago, it really does change the voting dynamics. And this is beyond the voting law changes. But if you don't even know who you're voting for or what district you're in, you really have to step up and try to find out where you are now.
Yeah. And it does change the nature of representation too, I think, like you say, because, we're now in a district with people who live in Longview, and the kind of issues that those folks confront, the kind of kind of problems that present themselves in a more rural community are different than those in an urban center. So obviously that's a problem to find somebody who can represent those districts effectively. And that's the real challenge. So some of the other districts are similar. So there's a district that runs from Amarillo all the way down to Denton. These are districts that don't have a lot in common in terms of the people, except that there has to be a connection and they have to meet a certain population size. So obviously that's going to create some controversy, and it's a potentially problematic for people who don't feel like they're going to be kind of, you know, part of a unified representative experience.
Yeah. And if the turnouts are higher, let's take that Amarillo to Denton.
Yeah. Yeah. And a representative in that area is likely to be a Republican, will probably stay Ronnie Jackson as it has been. And that's a district that is very red, reliably red. So people who are in Denton, which is a fast changing, young, ethnically and racially diverse city, are not going to get the same kind of, you know, representation that the people in Amarillo are getting, just because of the kind of way partisanship has fallen. So that's a concern, because the more you do that, the more you effectively disenfranchise people. And even if it's not a technical way of disenfranchising them, it's certainly the case that on a kind of symbolic level, you're taking away their ability to have representation in a district that is of potentially winnable outcomes for your politics.
All right. You have done work on political campaigns. You've done research on redistricting in the past. This is a prime example of why votes matter. Republicans control the legislature in Texas, and the census numbers came out. They got to draw the lines. Had it been the other way around, the Democrats would have probably irked some Republicans with the way they drew things. Beyond that, beyond the politics of it, and I don't even, you know, you can't go beyond the politics, but your urban, rural, suburban topic that you touched on, that really does matter when you're drawing these districts, because if you draw a district that takes in Longview and Houston, as you said, you're talking about this kind of concern and this kind of demographic and this kind.
Exactly. I think that's a continuous problem. And you certainly see the shifting demographics in the state affecting that. So the rural populations are declining. And so those rural districts have to stretch farther to get the population to be able to meet the needs of the requirement to have the same populations across all the districts. Suburban power is really a lot of the kind of future of Texas. So a lot of where the members are coming from will be from suburban areas. So like you say, politically, that's going to change the nature of the kinds of issues that get addressed. So urban issues may not have quite the same purchase. You may have people ignoring or, you know, passing over rural issues. That's already happening in the state legislature. And there's concerns that the people who live in these rural areas are not getting the kind of resource allocation they need. So things like broadband, healthcare, and all kinds of different policies and transportation are fundamentally being ignored for people in rural areas, because they just don't have the numbers they used to have, because Texas is no longer a rural state. So you're exactly right that these things have a ripple effect in terms of policies the state produces.
Yeah. You look at the Interstate 35.
Yeah. That's the Texas spine. Yeah. Most people live in that urban area, the Texas triangle. So, and that's one side of the Texas triangle. So it's really fundamentally changing the way the state is being governed. And of course, that's going to affect, you know, things like water usage, transportation issues, electricity, energy issues. So there's definitely a need to be able to shift the kind of way that we talk about politics in terms of what the needs of the state will be. And so you're seeing that happen with redistricting.
I'll give credit to the Texas Tribune folks. TexasTribune.org has an article and a way of finding out specifically how you are affected. You can put in your address and it'll show you what districts you have now for the Texas House and Senate, the State Board of Education, and congressional districts, and what you are going to have pending any lawsuits or any court rulings that change things. But as of the 26th of October, that's the way things stand on redistricting. We've been speaking to Brandon Rottinghouse, a political science professor at the University of Houston. Thanks, Brandon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.